The story generating the most discussion this weekend, 630 points and 351 comments as we recorded, is a security researcher's disclosure of a method for leaking YouTube creators' private videos. The researcher, posting under the handle Javoriyski, documented a technique that could allow an unauthorized party to access video content that creators had explicitly marked private. And I want to be precise here because the framing matters. This isn't about someone cracking encryption or breaking into Google's servers. It's about a logic flaw in how access controls are enforced at the API or delivery layer.
The business implications here are substantial, and I don't think they're getting enough attention outside the creator community. YouTube has spent years positioning itself as a professional platform. It's where filmmakers store rough cuts, where corporate communications teams host unreleased internal videos, where musicians sit on unreleased tracks. The promise of private is foundational to those use cases. If that promise is porous, you're not just talking about embarrassing leaks. You're talking about creators' intellectual property being accessible before they choose to release it.
The HN thread is particularly good on the technical specifics. Several commenters noted that these kinds of access control bugs tend to cluster around the gap between what the UI enforces and what the underlying infrastructure enforces. You can have a perfectly hardened front end that says, "This video is private," while the CDN or the transcoding pipeline is still serving assets based on older, less strict rules. It's a coordination problem across distributed systems, and it's genuinely difficult to catch in standard security reviews because each individual component looks correct in isolation.
There's also a disclosure ethics dimension here that the community debated at length. The researcher published details. Google has a formal vulnerability disclosure program. The question of whether this was responsible disclosure, giving Google adequate time to patch before going public, is something the HN thread wrestles with in good faith, with people on both sides making reasonable arguments.
Connecting to that, the Claude Code session leakage issue that surfaced this week, 303 points, 129 comments, is a different flavor of the same underlying problem. Researchers found potential session or cache leakage between workspace instances or consumer accounts in Anthropic's Claude Code product. The concern is that data from one user's session might be accessible to another user in certain edge cases. Anthropic filed this as a GitHub issue, and it's been actively discussed.
What's notable from a product trust perspective is that Claude Code is specifically marketed toward enterprise and developer workflows, where you're often dealing with sensitive code, internal architecture, proprietary business logic. The bar for session isolation in that context is extremely high. One commenter put it well: the threat model for a coding assistant isn't the same as the threat model for a consumer chatbot. The data flowing through these sessions is often genuinely sensitive.
And this connects to a broader structural tension in the AI tooling space right now. These tools are being adopted at enterprise scale faster than the security and compliance infrastructure around them has matured. We're not talking about immature companies here. Anthropic is a serious organization with serious security people. But the velocity of product development in this space is such that certain classes of bugs that would have been caught in a slower release cycle are reaching production.
Also worth flagging in the privacy space this weekend, the hacker factor analysis of Meta's unstable image signatures. Neil Kiefer, who runs Hacker Factor and has a long history of forensic image analysis, looked at how Meta embeds identifying information into AI-generated images. His finding is that the signatures are inconsistent. What Meta calls a stable identifying marker turns out to vary in ways that make reliable forensic attribution difficult, which cuts both ways. It's a problem if you're trying to track the provenance of AI-generated disinformation, but it's potentially interesting if you're a user who'd rather not have your AI-generated images permanently fingerprinted to your account.
The HN comment thread on that one is smaller, 13 comments, but the quality is high. The forensic imaging community knows Kiefer's work and takes his methodology seriously. The implication for content authenticity efforts more broadly is that we shouldn't assume the technical infrastructure for tracking AI-generated content is as robust as the press releases suggest.